This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
And we are, Beam, I noticed we're not too close, but we're inching our way up to 300 episodes. Might get there sometime this calendar year.
All right.
I think we're in the maybe 270s now, 260s.
Pretty good.
Yeah. So
thank you. We just did 200 not that long ago.
I know. But that's how time works, is that we think it wasn't that long ago, and then we look back. And
the World Cup was 2 years ago.
Oasis tells us to not look back in anger. We don't want to do that, obviously. Big soccer guys. Big Manchester City guy.
Totally.
Right? Yeah. At least one of them is. I don't know if both
Noel,
of them.
Liam.
They like each other now. They're friends.
Apparently.
Well, you know what? They're friends enough to make millions of dollars
you
off
like
of
Oasis?
A concert tour. You know what? I never got into them. However, I work with a guy in Common Man who is a huge Oasis fan.
Is he going? Is he going to any of the concerts?
No. I asked him, and he said probably not. And I said, because aren't they coming to Soldier Field, I feel like? They're doing one in Chicago.
So they're doing, like, the European tour.
Yes.
I think. So Adam Jardy, who covers the
huge Oasis guy.
Ohio State men's basketball team and has been doing it, does a great job. Like, Oasis diehard fan. And we had him on the day that Oasis announced that they were coming back for a tour. Just, we talked a little bit of Buckeye basketball, but really we wanted to talk some Oasis with him. And his wife now, they have two kids. He goes, it was the worst day of my life. I had just gotten back from a run. I like went on a run in the early morning. I saw the news that Oasis like had broken up and they were not going to do anything together anymore. And so he's living with his girlfriend, maybe fiance, wife now.
Yeah.
And he goes, I get back from the run and I'm sitting there and I'm like sweating and I'm very emotional. And she comes out, she's like, what's wrong? He goes, I have to talk to you. And she's thinking, like,
oh my gosh,
you're
going to break
up with me. Like, we're done. They had been dating for a few years. And he's like laying his heart out on the line, like, Oasis just broke up.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, that's so he's a diehard fan and he's actually going to the show. And I think they're playing in Glasgow, maybe.
Okay.
Is their first show that they're playing. And he specifically got tickets to that show just in case things don't work out.
Yeah, because you never know.
He wants to be at that first show just so he. He can say that he's done it, that
yeah.
he did it.
Well, so Common Man is a huge Oasis fan. Jen Winter's big Oasis fan.
I like Oasis. So, they're good.
Well, so
it
like,
wasn't really my, it was a little before my time.
See, that's where I am. Like, it was not necessarily before my time, but when it came out, I just wasn't listening to that much of that type of music, mm-hmm. you know? And so then, since then, I obviously have a lot of friends who really like Oasis, and so I was talking with Common Man one day, and he's like, here's the album you should listen to. And I forget, it's the one with all their hits on it, many of their hits. And so I went home, and like I put it on, and I gave it a solid, like, sit-down, focused listening, wasn't distracted, wasn't doing something else. And I came back the next day, and I said, you know what, 10 out of 10, no notes. Like, it's a great album. It's not the type of album I typically listen to. It's got a lot of, like, it's very good. It's just
you're more of a Young Jeezy guy.
You know it, man.
Yeah.
That's right. That's where I go. Young Dolph, RIP. I've got the John Morant card with him in the background.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm at. But no, I like a lot of different music. I do like a lot of, I don't know what the right term is, like chaos is what I like. And Oasis is not a chaos band. They're a very like structured, they are off the stage.
Sure.
They're very chaotic. So when I mentioned to Common Man, I said, hey, they're united. They're back. They're coming together. He goes, I'll believe it when I see it, you know? And I had told him like, no, the stories are out there. He's like, no, you don't understand. When they actually play these shows, then I will believe that it happened because he, you know, like any Oasis fan, like with Jardy, that tracks, like, just wait. I want to make sure I see the first show because
when
that might
they
be the last
super
show.
Super popular, like mid-90s, right? Like mid to late 90s?
I feel like
90s.
That's when they started getting, a lot of traction. And then early 2000s, they were still, I think, fairly popular.
Yeah, so like that was, I was listening to a whole different kinds of stuff than what I was listening to now. But I would have been for sure diehard Oasis super
fan.
I like them. I really enjoy them. I like their music a lot. It was just, like I said, a little bit before my time. Like, but I think I would have been super fan if that would have been in my sweet spot, like during my years of susceptibility to that.
Right.
I would have been right in the wheelhouse.
Yeah. See, that's, I understand that. Like, I'm not.
Like, I showed you some bands like Future Islands. You're like, okay. I'm like, I like Future Islands. I think you like a little bit of it, too. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you and I, although we share maybe the same semblance in music, it's a little bit different. Well, I'm more of a.
You tend to go for the, like, I don't want to say this in the wrong way. You like to have a cry with your music sometimes.
Sometimes,
yeah. Right? Some of it. But then you also like to have a party with your music, too. There's, like, that vibe. I like to have violence in my music, which I don't know why. That's just where it's at. Like, it needs to be chaotic and angry, or it has to be, like, rednecks singing, like, hillbilly songs about the good old days in the hills or something. You know, like, I need...
Oh, Rakita, yes, you'll always be...
I have a playlist called Colorado Ohio Valley, where it's just, like, Appalachia banjo music.
John Denver's
and
full
then,
of
yes,
shit.
And, right, and all that. And it's, like, it's all stuff that I picture you have, like... I made the playlist. We were in the Smokies, and I was just like, yep. Like, just stuff that I thought I would be hearing as I walked around in the Smoky Mountains. Like, that's what I made that playlist for. And it's still to this day is one of my favorite playlists. No chaos there. No anger. No violence for the most part. I mean, there's some, you know, people who, you know, some of these country songs are a little angry about something or other. But for the most part. But then all my other music is like. We're going to scream at you and there's moshing and all that stuff. So it's.
Yeah, that's rage for me. Like I told you, that's
you love
it.
Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, that's
for that
me.
Moment. That's for where that, you get.
And it's a very rare moment.
How are you on Deftones? I forget. Did we have this conversation?
Not the fact that I don't enjoy them. I just don't. I don't really know them. I don't really know them that much.
I feel like how you feel about Deftones is how I feel about Oasis.
Okay.
Which is like, I am aware that they exist.
Yeah.
I have listened to some of their songs and I'm not opposed. But have I ever dove in, other than that time when Mike asked me to, I haven't really dove into their music a ton. And that's where, like, it feels like you're aware of Deftones. You probably heard a few songs, but you're not like, oh, man, I listened to.
Let me go listen to this.
Right.
Willie's been really into Jack White lately.
Love Jack White.
He's been. All
iterations. I'm a big fan of White Stripes.
White Stripes is great.
His solo stuff is great.
Really good. He has a new song, That's How I'm Feeling. And it's just like the chorus is, And so he knows it's easy to say and it's easy to pick up.
Yeah.
And so we have an Alexa, which we play songs on, like Hot Dog from the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse is also in there. He's a big fan of that. But like Lazaretto, Jack White loves.
Oh, Lazaretto.
Seven Nation Army, obviously. He hears that during Buckeye games. So he knows that one. But that's how I'm feeling. I mean, he just as soon as that like bass line kicks in at the beginning of the song and you can't see me right now because you're listening to it, he just starts. Nodding his head.
Bobbing his
My
head.
My uncle got him a little tiny drum set. Got him a little tiny drum set. And he's just there
nice.
All day and night. He got feedback from the microphone yesterday because it has a microphone in the drum set.
Oh, beautiful.
And so he'll get on the microphone when it's playing on Alexa and just scream, ow! And so that's cool. But we had a feedback episode yesterday and he immediately like threw it down because it got too close to the speaker.
Yeah,
that's
how
it's feedback
loud.
Works.
Oh yeah.
And he threw it down and he threw a fit, started crying and he didn't
sure
you know how
He's
kids
like,
are more susceptible to high pitches.
Oh
and tones.
Gosh, yes.
So it was loud even for me. I'm like smacking the microphone away. I'm like, I understand how that's scary for you, but I'm like, sometimes, buddy, with rock and roll, that's you gotta have the feedback.
Sometimes there is just a little feedback. Right. That's what rock and roll is all about.
And with Jack White enough, like you'll get the screechy feedback because that guy That guy shreds.
No. And you know what? Last thing, not to get on a soapbox about this, but people give like Meg White a ton of shit. Wasn't that her name? Was it Meg? The drummer that was, you know, I don't think they were actually ever, there was like, they were brother, sister, allegedly. And then they were, who knows, but like, whatever. Like that whole, she was a good drummer. I stand by that. She is, people said like it was Jack White and then anybody else could have played the other part. And it's like, no, she was a revolutionary drummer. She had a style that was, I think, hard if you're not someone who's ever played an instrument or you really haven't. And again, if you're like into Rush as a drummer, you're like, this is easy. But it's not about what she's playing. It's how she's playing it. It's the casualness of it. She had a whole style that is fairly unique. When you're playing, anybody can play that style of blues rock, yes. But the way she did it, I will stand by the fact that Meg White was a great drummer.
And she is a great drummer.
Yeah, still. She's not dead, as far as I know. She's still alive. Yeah,
divorced
you're right.
From Jack White, but
yeah, because they were. Remember initially when they came out, it was like, oh, they're brother sister, and it was like, I don't think they are.
Yeah, no,
like I don't think that's it.
I mean, not here.
And then there's if they are, it's gonna be awkward when the truth is revealed.
Yeah, she's on Rolling Stone's 100 Greatest Drummer list of all
time. I'm telling you, like, yeah, like, this is, she's legit.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee.
I'm saying if she was a dude, people would be like, oh, greatest, oh my gosh, so great. Because she's a woman, that's what it is. Like, there's just, women, you get a raw deal. That's what I'm saying, all right? I'm on your side.
Drum all you want. Come over to our house and use the drums.
Oh, the standards are incredible.
Maybe, like, I'll give the drums to you. That seems like something your kids would like.
No, you know what? We have electric drum set at home, and they do hop on there occasionally, but it's mostly, my wife played drums in the OSU marching band.
Right.
I did not play in any, like, real bands other than, like, our praise and worship band at church when I was in high
school.
Same
thing. But, like, the best damn band in the land.
She had a slightly higher exposure as far as, like, her audience than mine. But, like, we both like playing the drums, so that's what usually happens. So, yeah, if anybody plays,
I can't play a music instrument worth anything. Not one.
No. Never
none.
Tried?
Not really.
Did you play, like, never
picked
up?
We had, like, the recorder in elementary school.
Did you have access to a guitar as a young boy?
Yeah, got a guitar, loved the guitar, couldn't play it worth a damn.
No?
Couldn't do it.
What was it, just like the...
It's too confusing for me. It was the...
fingering is a little tough.
Yeah, I'm good at video games, but bad at guitar.
My grandfather, who was, may he rest in peace, from the hills of West Virginia, didn't get past the eighth grade in school, but could tear apart a car engine, put it back together. Very smart man, not book smart. He could play about any instrument you put in front of him, and I don't think he ever had a lesson.
That's why, like, I like music so much, because I can't do it, and it's just, I'm like, how do you make this sound? That's remarkable.
And he would just sit down and be like, oh, well, come on, here, I'll show you. And he would just, like, when I knew him, he was in his 50s and 60s, you know, as an older man, and he could just grab a guitar, and with these hands that could, like, you know, again, we're used to taking apart transmissions, he could just pluck the guitar, and it was like nothing. But for me, I would try to get one hand on the chords, and
can't,
I'm like, this hurts, my little baby fingers hurt. And he's like, suck it up. And then I didn't. And I should have, because then I could have maybe learned to play guitar, but I never did.
Maybe I'll learn. Maybe that'll be my midlife crisis.
Oh, yeah. Get ready for it. It's real. They
I know.
Happen.
It's coming.
I think I'm in the middle of mine right now.
So, sweet Stang.
I got a Mustang. I mean, I'm trying to, like, travel a lot. Like, I don't know. I feel like maybe it's time.
Oh, maybe, man. Mine's coming hard, too,
I just picked
buddy.
Up. Every movie I watch is a Western now. I don't know why. Like, I just want to be free, man. Just want to be born free out there. Out there in the mountains.
Throwing all your shit away and just leaving.
I keep trying to force people to watch my high school basketball highlights. Like, I used to be something. Like Uncle Rico over here. It's bad. I think I'm having one. I think that's where we're at.
I got beat by these blind guys.
We did play the school.
We
played the school for the deaf. Oh, that is actually true. We did play them.
Right across the street from my house.
Yeah, right there. Yeah. Right up there by the old TJ's.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone, right?
Well, that building's gone. They moved down the street.
Oh,
so
that's
TJ's
right.
TJ's is still there.
Okay. Is now the Chick-fil-A, sign still there?
Yeah, Chick-fil-A redid the sign.
Oh, well, that's okay. Well, at least they kept that.
It's
that's
fine.
Whatever.
It's a very convenient Chick-fil-A location, I will say, though.
This is where I am with life. I'm with you. I'm with you. It's tough. Like, I want to go to this restaurant. How's the parking lot? That's now where I'm at. Like, what? Just yesterday, I was thinking.
Are you getting to the where do you park? Where do you park?
Oh, my God. Dude.
My stepmom, anytime we go somewhere, where do we park?
My buddy Nick Gallo. Yep. Gallo's, they have a lot of different restaurants around town.
A lot of parking.
Yeah. Well, at some of them. But, like, the one, you know where the Wario's is up in Clintonville?
Yes.
And that little strip, there was a Hot Chicken Takeover in there. There's now, Nick has a spot in there. Like
Gallo's on High?
Yeah. There's a lot of good restaurants right in that little area.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that parking lot because I never know which entrance to go in, because one of the entrances is a, like, only out entrance.
Yeah, go
and
in
I'm
the
like,
middle. Like, you just go in where the building split. That's where you go.
I know. So this is how old I am, where now I'm just like, oh, it's got that parking lot. Never mind. I'll go to one of his other restaurants.
Considering that's my neighborhood and I live there, I probably have
no,
a little
No, you're right.
Bit...
Yes. If I lived by it, it wouldn't be a big deal. It's that the one or two times a year I go over that way. I'm
or
like,
going to Studio 35, like, freaks my stepmama. She's like, where do you park? I'm like, you just parallel park on the street.
You're right.
She goes, I can't do that in 5 o'clock rush hour Friday traffic. I'm like, yes, you can. It's very easy. We do it every week with a toddler in the back. It's fine.
I'm actually a decent parallel parker, too. It's not about, like, I'm scared of it. It's just like, I don't want to bother. I'll just, like, a Walmart parking lot, great. Like, I just...
See, hate a Walmart parking
lot. Really?
Costco, we went to Costco yesterday. Oh. I have anxiety going to those parking
lots.
Yeah, can't do
it. No, I love it. Because you don't even have to think. Just bloop. Just
I don't
pull
exist in those parking lots, though. Everybody else's life matters more than mine. People cutting off people.
Oh, yeah,
backing
that's right.
up when
they
you're
do.
Having the car, looking at people like, I'm behind you. Don't hit me.
That's right.
It gives me a little bit of anxiety.
I agree with that. But I'm just saying, I opt out of it, and I'm just like, look, the furthest parking spot away, awesome.
That's what
Nobody's around
Meredith yells at me all the time for that. She's like, why are you parking so far away? I'm like, so I don't get killed in this parking lot.
Melissa is a huge fan of, we've got to win the parking lot battle. We have to get the best spot.
Listen, if the battle's there to be won, I'll try to win it.
Yeah, but no, she has to, it's like a competition to come in and be like, look how close I am to the door. It's like, I'm going to walk because I don't walk enough. So I'll just walk more. Anyway. All right. So if you can't tell, we're both going through it.
Yeah.
And we're doing great. So it's
my mental collapse is rapidly approaching.
I had one some point last year. I'm quite sure there was a point where there was no feeling. I was just walking in here and like, whatever. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Sure. And then, now we're back.
Everybody's been there. It's nice to be able to talk to your friends about your problems. So.
It is. And we consider you friends. If you're listening to us, if you put up with, the first, 10 minutes of this show every single week where we just talk about all of our
stuff.
That's how we
know the real fans.
I'm not going.
Listeners.
We're not going for popular on this podcast. We're going for real.
300 episodes of non-popular
stuff.
We're
going for real people. We want you to really like what you're hearing. And if you don't, that's fine. I get it. But I'd rather have, a few hundred real friends than millions of pretend friends. That's what I'm saying.
You and Eric, that's it.
Yeah, right. There we go. Well,
you're my two.
What do you need? Have you met Chris Blaine? he's my guy.
He's a friend.
Sam Fahmy, that's a good dude.
United fan.
Yeah. Big
fan. Well, Chris
fan.
Is. I don't know about Sam.
Sam, I believe, is too. Yeah, I think that's right.
Sam was watching our YouTube chat this morning on our show.
There you go.
Bob choked himself on some water when we were talking to Jim Tressel, and he was about to die. Sam,
well, that would have, you know,
Sam hopped in the chat. He said, Bob, don't die.
I applaud Sam's, Sam, thank you for listening. I applaud Bob's attempts at trying to go viral, but he needs to tone it down.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need you dying on the air.
Chill out, big dog.
That would be very clickable content. People would be like, oh, former Ohio State player and local radio host
chokes on air
while talking to his old coach.
While co-host is trying to navigate an interview with Jim Tressel, doesn't save his life.
It's anyway, coach, Bob is not going to do the rest of the interview.
I hope you're okay.
What do you think about
me.
This game against Notre Dame? Have you called out Lou Holtz yet? Would you like to fight him?
Is there any words you'd like to say to Lou?
Yeah, that's good. All right, I guess we should start talking about soccer. Except
in a roundabout way,
let me tell you the story you sent in the prep today. The first story we're talking about, just to lay out what's coming up on the show. The crew are back in camp, so that's cool. We have transfer window stuff. We had supposedly the Premier League coming down on the people who cheated, and spoiler alert, nothing happened. Mm-hmm. But that's not where we're starting today. We are starting with the headline that you sent me. That is one of the greatest headlines I have ever seen in my life. And
I know it's good when you guys are going to use it on your show.
Oh, I already told you. This will probably lead our show. Let me read you the headline. Italian soccer club Lazio fires Falconer for posting photos of his penis implant. Now, you may say, oh boy, this sounds like a frivolous news story. What little backwater blog did you find this on? Rinkadink soccer blog?
I believe I found that on the AP News.
The Associated Press is where this news comes from, with a picture of the Falconer.
Shout out to Joe, too, American Joe, because he sent this in the group chat, which is how then I became aware of it.
This is from January 14th, updated 3:36 p.m.
So yesterday.
It's fairly new. Lazio has fired the man who handled the Italian soccer
clubs. We all know Lazio, right?
Lazio, great. Yeah, I mean, they're light blue. They're awesome. Their jerseys are iconic.
Not on our team list, but they could get there.
Could get there very easily. Yeah. We have 37 teams we root for. This could be team number 38.
Yes.
If they play their... You know what? They fired a guy for what I'm about to tell you. I may want to become their Falconer.
You be the judge.
I want to be their Falconer.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to say. Anyway, Lazio fired the man who handled the Italian soccer club's eagle mascot. If you don't know, their logo features an eagle. It's a symbolism of the club.
It's very
right?
cool.
So they have a bald eagle that they let fly around the stadium like some, college football teams do here, all that stuff. They said that he posted photos and videos online of his own prosthetic penis. Falconer Juan Bernabe shared the images on his private social media accounts after undergoing surgery for a penile implant, which he said was for non-medical reasons. I'm glad this man removed. I'm glad he removed all the cover story, right? Where it could be like, no, there was a gardening accident, and I fell on a thing, and it.
You know, I needed it
fixed.
I didn't like the way I looked, so I changed it.
Uh-huh. It says he gave an interview to controversial Italian radio show La Zanzara on Monday.
We're big fans of that.
Well, it's controversial, so of course we are. And elaborated on his reasons for undergoing the procedure. He said, quote, he felt very proud and more masculine being part of Lazio. The Serie A club did not feel the same as it fired the Spaniard shortly afterward. The club said in a statement, we are shocked to see the photographic images and video of Mr. Juan Bernabe and to read the statements that accompanied them. Lazio announces that it has stopped with immediate effect all relationship with this person, given the seriousness of his behavior.
Did he do it because he wanted a stronger relationship with the club? That's kind of where...
It does feel like the way he was saying that was like, I don't feel I can be a proper Lazio fan with what I was given at birth.
How do you fire a guy like that who's willing to go through so much for your club? I understand how you fired him. Don't get me wrong.
I don't know if the man's married. I don't know if he's married to a woman, but I'm just going to, for the sake of this argument, pretend he's, you know, heteronormative society. I'm just going to say, I picture his wife going, how much are we spending on this? And he's like, listen, honey,
the tag,
it's for the club. And she's like, but I don't care. I love you anyway. He's like, it's not about you. Okay.
It's about the greater good.
I'm going to be out there with my Falcon, with my Eagle. And I want to be as proud as an Eagle.
Yeah.
Right. I want my ego. I have a line.
I know everyone's got a line. We're all thinking of different lines right now.
I've got my eagle, but I need a hog. You know, is what I wanted to say. That's what I wanted to say. I'm sorry. Don't listen with your kids to this show. It's never good.
Never do that.
Never do that. So yeah, Lazio has. I love how in this article they also explain to you the symbolism. They're like the eagle, a bird that symbolizes ancient Rome.
That's classic AP for you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, of course.
I do want to know. So, like, he puts that picture out there of the implant. Who was the first person from the club to see this? You know, if it's on his, like, private social media, and it was on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever. And the first person from the club, like, say that you're friends with this guy, you've seen him in the halls, him and his... Eagle walking through the halls of Lazio. Say you're working in like finance, you know?
Right. Yeah.
You're Jerry from finance.
You just got out of a meeting with guys, we got to sell more jerseys. Yeah, we got to make some money.
We got to find a way
sales.
For us to, you know, really kick up the numbers here. We're struggling a little bit in ticket sales.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're doing scrolly fun time. You get out of your meeting from your breakout session. You go back, say, I need to decompress a little bit. Let me hop on Facebook. And what's this individual's name?
Juan Bernabe, I believe.
Yeah, and you just see Juan Bernabe post a picture of his junk.
I mean, it's not junk, it's new.
Well, right, it's brand spanking new.
One man's junk is another man's treasure, right?
And so, like, Jerry from finance, who's the first one to discover this, shows it to the office.
You can't just say nothing. You could just keep that as your little secret and be like, hey, how's it going, boss hog? You know, as you walk around, he's like, what do you mean? It's like,
I meant to say big dog.
Big dog is what I meant to say. You know, I may have seen a few pictures. I'm not going to say anything.
How long from the time that he posted this picture until the time that he was fired? That's what I really want to know.
Well, so I'm going to just guess that Jerry from finance or whoever didn't have to find it. This guy seems like the type of guy who's probably showing it to people.
You're correct.
Like, not, I don't mean physically, but he's like the picture. He's probably like, hey, did you know what happened, what I did over the weekend? It's like, no. It's like, well, you know, I missed a few weeks there where I was out for medical leave. Let me show you what happened. And then people are just like, oh, okay, thanks, Juan. God, where's your eagle? Can you go back over there now? The story gets more problematic as you read
it. Well, yeah, naturally.
Well, it has nothing to do, sadly, with the penis implants. And I'm going to say this may take Lazio off our running for club we could really get behind. They suspended Bernabe previously in 2021 when he was filmed at a game performing a fascist salute.
Mm-hmm.
at the end of a match and chanting a phrase that was used to praise former fascist Italian leader Benito Mussolini.
Yeah, so, that should have been the ixnay right there.
That to
probably.
Me is like, So again, Lazio said fascist salute. Again, you're in Italy. Like that was that. That's bad.
A lot of history.
They have a lot of history with the fascists. That's not good. They were like, look, we can't have you doing that, but also we have no one else to wrangle this eagle. So I guess we'll just suspend you.
How long
does it take to, apparently it takes a long time to find someone who can handle an eagle.
I would think.
Yeah.
You know anybody that can handle those?
No, I don't know any falconers. I'd like to know if you are a falconer. I feel like I'm now like Art Bell or George Norrie on Coast to Coast AM. If you're a falconer, call the wild card line. That show,
please,
if you've
tweet at Bone Beam United.
If you've never heard that show, that was like a paranormal show. I think it may still be on, but Art Bell used to do it 80s, 90s. And he would be like, if you're the Antichrist, or if you believe that you are the Antichrist. And then, I'm not kidding you, for 5 hours from midnight to 5 a.m., he would have the wild card line where it's like, if you're east of the Rockies, call this number. If you're west of the Rockies, this was a nationwide radio show. And he would say things like, if you think you've been abducted by aliens, I want to hear your stories. 5 hours straight of people just line up and like, yeah, let me tell you about it.
I've never heard that show.
Oh, look up Coast to Coast AM. Some of the, like Art Bell on YouTube, if you can find little clips of it, the Antichrist line is the funniest one. Because he literally just sets it up like, it could be a woman. You know, Christ was a man. Antichrist very well could be a woman. If you are the Antichrist.
Still going, buddy.
Call us. Yeah. It used to be George Norrie that took over
it
after
still
Art
is.
Bell. Oh, George Norrie's still doing it. Let him live. All right.
Still is.
Also, Bernabe added in that controversial radio interview where he was talking about his penis implant, he also brought up, I admire Mussolini so much. Mm. So, like, he got suspended for those thoughts and then still doubled down on it. So, again, this guy's he's putting pictures of himself out there. He's talking about fascists.
Now the tuxedos seem kind of messed up.
It was time to go,
yeah.
Right? It was time
to find a new falconer.
Time to, you're going to get the sicko for that. All right. So, great.
Now I'm just looking at tonight's episode coming up here.
Uh-huh.
Coast to Coast AM.
Yeah, what do they have?
AI, mythology, and drones, witchcraft, and tarot. First half, author and researcher Stephen Quayle will present his latest work, which explores the connection between mythological events and artificial intelligence research. He'll also discuss stargates, wormholes, orbs, and drones.
Yeah.
Second half of
this show. So far tracks 100%.
Spiritual teacher, tarot reader, and witch, Sabrina Scott, with a no-nonsense transformative life coach, whose work has been featured in magazines, radio shows, and documentaries. She'll share how witchcraft and tarot can help people heal from traumatic experiences and improve their lives, as well as how to protect against unpleasant spirits, curses, and bad energy. Sounds great.
I'm telling you that, like, I don't think people understand. Because we've gotten social media now, we've gotten YouTube, and you got like, did you know there's a YouTuber who built like a house, and then he had all his buddies come over, and one of them had to spend like a week in a room, and if he get, you know, like Mr. Beast, all those challenges he does, and we're like, this is the craziest stuff I've ever heard. And it's like, you know, people my age and older are like, if you were up late enough, cable access had some crazy wild stuff on it, and then on the radio, I'm telling you. This is a syndicated radio program that used to have hundreds of stations, like locally in town. 610 WTVN used to air it every night from like midnight to 5 a.m. I don't know. I think now they run like the Truckin' Network or something.
One to five.
Okay, whatever. I mean, it's late.
Seven nights a week, 1 to 5.
Yeah, they don't miss, man. This is, and
well,
I think
since 1988.
I'm telling you, this thing's been an institution in radio. These guys are like, I'm pretty sure Art Bell, George Norrie are whatever Hall of Fames exist for radio. They're in them. Like they are. Yeah, these are legit
the
dudes.
The show is now estimated to be carried over by 600 affiliates.
Dude. Yeah, Coast to Coast AM, baby.
The 2010 program was known as by far the most popular overnight show in the country. Mm-hmm. It's the number one show according to Nielsen.
Yeah.
Dude, that's amazing.
I'm telling you, man. And guess who's up at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Me and you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's right, especially if there's a Buckeye game. But also, like, truckers, people who have to, you know, drive in overnight. You're traveling, you're bored, you've been on the
road
for
something
7 hours. You flip this on, there's a guy talking about, my friend disappeared in a national park, think it was Bigfoot. Hey, well, anybody else know anybody who's been abducted by Bigfoot? Yes.
Are you Bigfoot?
Are you Bigfoot? Call in. I'm not Bigfoot, but I know him. Like, I mean, these are the people they have on. And then they get a million calls. And
it's a great show.
Yeah. It's like Paul Feinbaum, but for conspiracy theorists. You know, where it's just, you throw the phone lines out there and it's like, Bigfoot couldn't compete in the SEC. Like, it's not only do they think he's real, they have opinions.
Down in the South, Paul.
They think their Bigfoot in Washington is better than the Bigfoots that have been spotted in Arizona.
Man,
they talk
bear
smack
pig's
about
the best
it.
Of them all.
That's right. Yeah. So it's, I'm telling you, it's a wild card. Go look up like clips from the heyday of you on
YouTube.
That's
all I'm going to spend the rest of my day doing.
I'm so glad I could reveal this to you. Yeah. I know. Yeah. We have one clip of Art Bell that we do play on the show sometimes, and it's him talking about the Antichrist. Okay. Call up the Antichrist line. It's awesome. I love it. All right, so maybe we'll see Juan Bernabe on Coast to Coast talking about his penis implant and how there was a giant conspiracy against
Mussolini Stan.
Yeah, not great. That's the downside of that one. You know, he could have, but you know what? Up until the point where the Mussolini stuff happened, I still wouldn't have defended him at all. But, like, it was just a lighthearted, fun story. And then it became like, oh, also.
Oh, now it's messed up. Now it's
but now I see why he thinks that's important, right? It does feel like if that's who
it tracks.
Yeah, feels like that's where the penis implant
that's
ads are going. If you're that's like on fascist websites, that's probably what your Google ads are getting. It's like a lot of penis implants and, you know, hairline stuff and yeah, all that. You gotta, you know, that's right. Okay, should we talk about actual soccer now?
Sure.
We've avoided it for 30 minutes. It's just like however long we've been going.
The rest of the stuff is non-consequential. We're going to talk about.
Well, how about Jurgen Klopp? Of course, now he is, what is he? What's his title with the Red Bull?
He's like sporting
group?
Director for Red Bulls, right?
Yeah, for all of the Red Bull soccer stuff. And
him and Christian Horner.
Yeah, there you go. Right on the racing side. That's good. So Jurgen Klopp said he would, quote, throw a party if Manchester City's titles get stripped.
Good.
Now, the Premier League had come forward and said, we're going to announce some big penalties. We're going to tell you from 2021 to 2024, all these different things where, you know, Manchester City or whoever, if they spent too much money. And so it was out there. They announced this on Monday. They said Tuesday. Yeah, we're going to announce all the penalties.
Nothing happened. All 20 teams were in the clear.
Yeah, that's right. So the Klopp quotes come from that, where he was saying that's how happy he would be if it happened. The key points from this, all Premier League clubs were cleared of what they're calling the PSR breaches. PSR is, I should know this.
Make it up. Public service records.
Yeah. The pretty, pretty
sane rankings.
I was going to say pretty shitty
Revenues.
That's it. Pretty shitty revenues. There you go. So the PSR, anyway, they were going to announce their findings of who had stepped in it, who had screwed up. All the Premier League clubs are cleared. Leicester was someone that they thought might get some kind of PSR charge. They did not.
Back in September, I think that they, what's the word I'm looking for? They like fought it.
Yeah.
They appealed it.
They appealed it. Right.
They appealed it, and I think they won their appeal, so they're good. They're having their own issues at the minute anyways, so. Who knows what's going to happen? I'm surprised Everton didn't get docked like another 10 points.
Yeah. That's what all the Everton fans I saw were saying, basically, like, watch, we'll get docked like 10 points, and somehow they'll go to Manchester City or something. They'll, like, give them our points
now
somehow.
We need them to chase down Liverpool this year.
Yeah, that's right. With all 20 clubs avoiding any charges, these clubs recorded losses of more than £105 million over the period between 2021 and 2024.
Okay.
Combined. So
that is 33 mil a year.
Here's the thing that I found, and I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. This is, again, maybe I should go listen to Art Bell and George Norrie. But the conspiracy theory I would buy into is, why is it this 3 or 4 year stretch that they looked at? Why wouldn't they just look at, like, for example, if I 1 year on my taxes cheated and didn't report, like, I don't know, $50,000 of income or something, and then the next 5 years, I reported all of it very cleanly and did everything I was supposed to, and everything was done by the book. Wouldn't I get in, like, or even if maybe I overpaid a little bit later on and said, I'm going to pay extra into my taxes. Like, wouldn't I still get in some trouble because I lied the first? Like, there would have to be some consequence for the initial crime, right? And then
I guess it depends on what the timetable is. Maybe it's 4-year increments.
Well, right. I'm just, if, yeah, you're right. Maybe that's the rule. Is like, so I guess what I'm saying is, what would prevent a club like Manchester City from, or anybody, from saying, oh, we'll go like $500 million in the tank, sign all these dudes, right? We'll get all these, we'll pay all these massive transfer fees to bring all these great players in.
Win a bunch of trophies, make a lot of money, make up for it in the subsequent years.
Yeah. And then the next 4 years, we don't have to do transfer fees because we have all these great players. Maybe we bring in a few, we do some business, yeah. We sell a few guys, we get a few guys. But like the time we went in the tank, since then, we've actually been in the green. Like, it still feels like yes, but the whole reason they have these rules is so you don't go so far in debt like that.
Well, and the 115 charges that City's looking at is from like 2008 to 2018.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, so this doesn't even cover that.
It's not even included in the... Because I feel like we've been talking about these charges for like 3 years.
Yeah, because again, this is the confusing nature of all this. This thing today, the PSR thing, that's from Premier League and English soccer, FA, all that. There is still the financial fair play, which comes from FIFA, which insert laugh here
I
if you think FIFA's
less
going to
faith in that.
Right, of course. So that's what they did run aground of, supposedly, or run afoul of, not aground, whatever. Anyway, long story long, they're probably not getting punished and everybody gets away with it. So
unless you're Jurgen Klopp, then you're gonna throw a party.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying much like life, right? Where it's like, hey, it looks like these rich and powerful people broke some rules, and then you're like, yeah, they're gonna, who cares?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. So that's where it is in soccer, as it is in real life. But I do feel like if a third division club, oh, hey, Philadelphia Union.
That was crazy, wasn't it? So the story goes, so Philadelphia, not in the English league, in MLS, not governed by the FA. But so every team in the world, like if you're a registered pro team, you have to abide by FIFA fair play rules. And so what happened, I don't even know the player in this story, Bone, but it was something pretty wild that they bought a player. There was supposed to be like a training fee, maybe, like, and so I'm guessing what happened in Philadelphia is that they just missed this and they missed a payment.
Right.
So Philadelphia right now, who is going through their own changes in themselves, right? Like fired their coach or going through this entirely different identity change right now. They missed a $700 payment for a player to a club.
Yeah.
For some sort of training aid.
Jose Riasco is a Venezuelan striker who plays for the Union Reserves.
Okay.
He arrived from Mineros de Guayana in Venezuela, a team down there. And then for whatever amount of time he was training there, there was something in the contract that said they are owed compensation for having him on the club or whatever. Yeah. The amount of $700.
And like, so Philadelphia is unable to register any players right now.
Yeah.
As we get ready to go into an MLS season because of $700.
So it says here that FIFA confirmed that this is active. Yeah. Like they are currently preventing. They said the ban will be lifted once the payment has been confirmed by the creditor concerned. So... like,
I think that someone can just swipe a credit card and have like a money wire.
Wild to me, right? Like that it even got to this level that it made the news. But now, hopefully, I mean, I would presume by end of business, by the time you're listening to this, this has been fixed,
done.
Right?
It's got to be.
It should be done. It shouldn't be a thing, but it's just wild. Probably just like you said, an accounting error, something got missed.
Jerry from finance again.
But it does highlight how FIFA supposedly monitors things to such a level that they're aware of when an MLS club, and I'm guessing, I don't even know if it's a first division club in Venezuela. Like a Venezuela.
Small team.
Venezuela not known for their great soccer, right? I mean, that's more, they have traditionally been more of like a country when it comes to sports. Baseball's been a big deal from Venezuela, right? But like that's, I'm just saying these are not the biggest teams in the world. And yet FIFA's like, hey, we saw that. We're keeping an eye on it. $700. Oh, meanwhile, over here...
Don't worry about it.
$800 million worth of transfers. Yeah. Who can say if that was good or bad? Like, that's the part that just makes soccer fans roll their eyes when you see all this stuff. So, anyway, it's all...
I can't believe FIFA dinged the Philadelphia Union for $700.
Well...
Now, you should pay... Now, you got to pay that.
Yeah, of course, but also, to your point, it's like, it just... It
Philadelphia
feels like,
Union and Barcelona are one and the same right now.
Yes, it feels like you watched a shootout happen between, like, 500 armed, like, militiamen just shooting each other in the streets, and the police are like, hey, stop jaywalking over there. What are you doing? It's like, what?
Don't spit your gum on the ground.
Yeah, that's
a ticket.
That's technically illegal, too, but what's going on over here? Are you doing anything about this other stuff?
Yeah, don't worry about that.
Yeah, that, I don't know. Seems like maybe our priorities are out of whack with FIFA. The crew, however, have paid everybody they're supposed to, according to all we can tell.
Except for Cucho. Let's work on that.
Well, he's here. The picture. He showed he was, you know, in camp. He had arrived, coming in, ready to, you know, get to work. Now the transfer window is still open, and I hope, again, I don't think anything's likely to happen there. I think it's all going to work out. We're going to keep Cucho here. He's going to be our guy. But, yeah, now it's, I would like to see the crew bring in some dudes, right? We talked last week. They brought in the guy from Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hope that that's a, you know, nice
Lapalainen.
Yeah, our guy, double L.
I don't even know if that's his name, but Lassie.
Lassie, that's
Lassie
right.
Lassie Lapalainen.
Something, yeah, I think you're right.
I think I'm right. I think I got it.
You know what? I hope all those L's equal W's. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my math today. So
I mean, we got a game coming up here in 5 weeks.
I know. I've got, is that the home opener or just the opener?
That's the home opener and the opener.
Yeah. I couldn't remember if they open on the road or not.
22nd of February.
My Christmas gift this year from my sister-in-law and her girlfriend was home game opener tickets.
Pretty good.
Like, yeah, that's very nice. And mittens, crew mittens that I've been using.
Chicago Fire.
Yeah. Oh, piss on the fire.
Triple G.
That's right. Oh, I forgot. Greg's there. He's back. But is he's the GM? Or is
he's the co.
He's coach and GM. That's right. Okay.
Well, he's the all-present being.
That's going to be a scene. There will be a lot of mixed emotions for some crew fans. I know that for sure. And rightfully so. Greg did a lot for this club.
Yeah, he sure did.
There will also be a lot of U.S. national team fans who will say, all right. Enough's enough.
Yeah.
But hey, if we got through having Brian McBride in a playoff game for Chicago,
get 3 points.
3 points. Start off the season right. Yeah, you're right, man. It's on us so quickly. It feels like we just got through with that playoff run, and you blink a couple times, you have your holidays, and then
we're back.
Yeah, and then they'll be playing for 9 months.
Yeah.
Like, it's
and then
soccer.
It'll be over again.
I love with soccer how people will say, I just can't get into it. I don't really know what to, and it's like, do you like having something to do every weekend?
Yeah.
Do you like always having your team around? Like, if you like that, then you'll love soccer, because especially with the MLS and European seasons being off, right? There's never a weekend where there's not something typically going on.
Yeah, and even if everybody's on international break, you get to watch international.
You get to watch that. Like, there's soccer on nearly every day of the calendar
year. And
the
best part about it is you can miss a few games if you need to, and then just come right back to it.
Absolutely right, because the chants all are the same, and the songs are the same, and it's like you still have those traditions and fun things, but then you can say, oh, hey, this guy that sucked, now he's playing.
Did you see?
He's good.
You guys probably didn't see it. You were doing your show yesterday. The chant from the Nottingham Forest fans. It like rockets up my list to like top five.
What was it?
You're aware of the Cranberries?
Oh, the band. Yes.
Yeah. The song Zombie.
Oh yeah.
So they were singing, in your head.
Yes.
In your head, Arnie,
as
they took
a
1-0 lead from Liverpool at home.
Oh, that's great.
I'm like, I saw that. I'm like that. Yeah. It was unbelievable. I'm listening to it. I'm like, what are they singing? Are they singing the Cranberries
that's
right
fantastic.
Now?
Fantastic.
Oh, I guess it just rocketed up my leaderboard.
Yeah, man. The fact, again, I love that aspect of the culture of the banter, right? But all the terraces in the stands, all it takes is a couple people with a good idea to then belt that idea out. And then the rest of the people around them are like, that's a good idea. And then in 5 minutes, the entire 60,000 people can be chanting that at someone, or 30,000 people, or whatever the size of the stadium is. Like, that's,
by the way, Nottingham Forest, good job. They're in it, man.
They're for real.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to put the stink on them or anything and like, oh yeah, they're for, and then they just like lose six straight. But like, no, they're legit, man. That is a fun team.
Second
to watch.
Place. They're above Arsenal right now.
Yeah. If you're in January, if we've passed through Boxing Day and all that, and you are still top four, then you are in a serious contention.
Of course.
For everything. I would be shocked if they won the Premier League, right?
Yeah. They're 6 points back. Liverpool have a game in hand.
And Liverpool are obviously just having
still got 17 games to
monster
play.
Season.
Everything
right?
can happen.
Absolutely can. Yeah. It's let's just hope it doesn't happen. Let's hope all the stuff doesn't happen to Nottingham Forest and they just keep plugging along.
Be great.
Yeah. Nottingham Forest in the Champions League. What a thought that is. Even if that's all. I said, like, oh, if that's all they do. I mean, if they do that, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Right? It's incredible. But they have an outside chance, you're right, at winning the Premier League, which is even, I don't know. It feels like it would be up there with the Leicester thing. Maybe even more.
I don't know about that, but.
Well, you're right, because Leicester had just been down and came up, and then Nottingham Forest is, like, stuck around for a few years.
Yeah.
But
still amazing.
Incredible. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm sure they'll get dinged for financial fair play by FIFA as soon
exactly.
as we. Because they, too, will not pay their $700 fee.
Actually, we're going to dock you 30 points. You're now in a relegation battle.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of fees and money, the last thing we should get to here before we go, MLS had a big change. They implemented
officially official. We had talked yes. about this last week, maybe a little bit, right?
Yeah, now it's happening. So this is the internal cash-based trade system. Translation, you can now transfer money for players in MLS.
Only a certain amount.
It's like two players a year.
Why? Why are you doing that? Why are you holding on to GAM?
Because there are cheap owners in this league, and they will. Their name's Anthony Precourt, and they will always complain about stuff like this. But, yeah, it. What as most of you know, if you follow soccer at all, you can usually, like, if you're Nottingham Forest and you have a great player and say someone else wants him or you want a great player in the Premier League, you can just say, hey, we'll pay your $30 million transfer fee so we can get this player. And then that club gets $30 million. You get the rights to the player. You negotiate a deal. That is now what can happen in MLS.
Twice a year.
And to my understanding, there is no limit on the amount, right?
I wouldn't think so.
Because that's what we have had is GAM and previously TAM. Right. But the general allocation money, that was a limited amount of funds where it's like, this is money that you can get. It is real money in a real bank account, but it goes over to this team. Now they have it. And there's only a finite amount of it. It's not based on how rich your owner is.
But then there's a certain amount that you could be unlimited from the designated player that you can spend however much you want. Right.
Yeah. But like, for example, Oh, who's the dude who was playing for Atlanta and went to Newcastle? I know I'm putting you on the spot. You know him.
Miguel Almiron.
Miguel Almiron. Like, when he transferred over there, I want to say the transfer fee was somewhere in the neighborhood of $15 to $20 million, something like that, maybe a little less. But, like, that is money Newcastle can just give to Atlanta United, and now they have that money, and it's not general. It's just money they have, yeah. Right? So if they want to use that to go put it towards a designated player, they could. Well, same thing
refurbishing
now.
Refurbishing their training ground. They
right.
could.
But if, like, the Crew had wanted to pay $15 million, if, like, the Haslams were like, we want Miguel Almiron, we need him, they could not have given Atlanta $15 million. Now, apparently, they can.
Yeah.
So that is above and beyond your allocation money, which still exists. But I don't know how useful it'll be in the future. I mean, for most of your players, you're still going to need it because you can buy down salaries and all the arcane MLS rules.
Just get rid of everything about your financial rules.
Oh, yeah. Get rid of your salary cap. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
Now that we have, like, the Haslams running things, yes,
yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
When we had Anthony Precourt running things and the Hunt Sports Group people running things, no, I don't feel that way because they didn't have any money. But now this group does.
Charge it to winning,
they
baby.
They spend it. Charge to winning. That's right. Well, the Haslams may be a little tired with the purse strings now that I say that. They've got all the money in the world. They're moving a game up to Cleveland so they can make more money, right? So
at least ticket prices are affordable.
Yeah, God. We are already...
Just remember, it's to grow the game.
This is no shade towards them. If you're going to that game, have fun. I hope you enjoy it. But we already have been planning a trip, because I think that's Easter weekend, isn't it?
I don't know.
I think it is, because my kids are out of school around that weekend for like a mini...
Break?
It's not spring break. It's like a mini... Their spring break is early. It's in March. This is in April.
Okay.
But anyway, we're planning on taking a trip around that time, so I won't be here for that. So I won't be, and I'm not taking a trip up to Cleveland. We're going, I think we're actually going back to the mountains. We're going to go try to get a cabin and get out of here.
Good.
But, yeah, so.
April 19th.
Yeah, I think that Sunday is Easter.
The 20th.
If I'm not mistaken. I mean, I'm not celebrating. I'm just telling you. I think that's when it is.
Okay.
We're whatever religion doesn't celebrate Easter. I don't know. There's
April
lots of them.
20th. That is Easter. You are correct.
Yeah.
I had to look at all the. We're probably doing Easter brunch with the bunny.
There you go. Yeah, that's fine. We do the baskets. That's all we do.
Okay.
There's none of the... We don't go to the ceremony. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and we'll just do a brunch.
Yeah, there
we'll
you go.
We'll do a brunch.
A brunch is good.
We'll go down to Dayton. He'll meet the Easter bunny. He'll run around. like a crazy man, do the brunch.
You like a hollandaise sauce for the brunch?
Yeah, I like it on an eggs Benedict.
You can get a Benedict?
Yeah, I like an eggs Benedict. For me, I don't get them if we're going out to brunch or anything. I don't get them here. I strictly do eggs Benedict when I'm on vacation.
That is a good call.
Yeah.
I like having only vacation foods.
Yeah.
It's a nice little signal to your brain that good things are happening.
Correct. So the only time I eat hollandaise is when I'm in places that are not home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've known some people in this business who say the same thing, but when it comes to prostitutes, where it's just only when I'm out of town.
Yeah,
you know?
Only when I'm not living here.
We'll leave it at that. All right.
Only when I'm not in my zip code.
Yeah, it's totally fine. It's totally different.
I live in Marysville.
Yeah, well, that's a little hack, a little life hack.
No. It doesn't count. International boundaries.
You, Matt, I have no idea how that works because I would be the person that's just like, how do I have to have cash?
What or, is this?
Like it would just I like the whole time it would just be like you're a cop, right? You're definitely a police officer.
What's the
There's
etiquette?
No way this is real.
What's like, the etiquette here?
Yeah, exactly.
Long There's, time, first time, long time.
First time, long time. Believe it or not, it's probably going to be pretty short.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for us. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Appreciate you checking out Bone and Beam United.